Welcome to Backyard Oasis, a podcast designed by and for older adults living in the beautiful Pioneer Valley of Western Massachusetts and produced in the tech studios at Greenfield Community College in Greenfield, Massachusetts. Backyard Oasis reaches out to older adults who seek knowledge to help them live more thoughtfully, healthily, and happily, who hope to inspire others with their ideas, and who serve their communities in the interest of the greater good.
Now we're good.
All right, welcome. Welcome to Backyard Oasis. We're here for our, well, it's actually our fourth version of the reality TV podcast. However, the last one somehow got erased, so For our wide viewing audience, this will be the third podcast. My name is Judy Raper. I'm the Associate Dean of Community Engagement at Greenfield Community College and an avid reality TV show watcher. And I'll let my co-host introduce themselves.
Yeah, I'm Mackenzie Shanahan, working from home. I am a reality TV guru. Mention it all.
Will do.
And I'm Jessica Nabala. I am a full-time hairstylist and mom. I also love reality TV, and it is my guilty pleasure.
Mm-hmm. I think we should also add, just for our listeners, just in case, Mackenzie is home with a sick kid. So if she has an occasional interruption, you'll understand why. She also did not know that she was on Eastern time. So there was a little bit of confusion this morning.
Okay, Judy. Okay.
But I have to say, Mackenzie, I laugh when I got that because I don't know if you grew up in Indiana with no time change. I don't know when they started having like daylight savings time in Indiana, but yeah. I grew up with no time change. So I remember when I moved to Vermont in 1986, and somebody said, don't forget to set your clock back tomorrow. And I was like, well, why would I do that? And they were like, well, it's daylight savings time. We change time tomorrow. Well, I thought that was the craziest thing I'd ever heard. So I was late to meet a friend the next day. They asked if I had failed to move my clock back. And I go, well, isn't this a gradual thing? Like, you just decide to change the time and everybody goes with it? And they were like, so then mom came to visit me. This was back in 86. Mom came to visit me, insisted on staying on Indiana time. And I had to like drag her to the movies and assure her that it was going to be on Vermont time, not on Indiana time. Cause she was like, I don't change time. I don't do that. So I can't imagine what the adjustment was like for those who had lived in Indiana all that time when you finally.
I didn't even know that was a thing. I feel like I've got
Indiana,
to go down that
Arizona,
rabbit hole later.
And Hawaii, I believe.
But yeah. Wait. Oh, wow. Why do we do it? Why do
it's
we
the dumbest
do-
thing.
Why don't we just say, no, we don't want to do it and don't do it?
Well, it's been like that Congress has tried to get it changed. And apparently, like when the time changes, they don't want kids going to school in the pitch black. So that's part of the reason for the time change. But it has something to do with farmers back in the day. Alex probably knows. He knows everything. Do you know, Alex, why they do
that? We love the farmers. But I think they would be all right if we said we're not going to do it anymore.
Well, they've talked about keeping it like, okay, so whatever we're on now, what are we on right now?
I don't even know.
We're getting ready to fall back.
Right.
They've talked about keeping it.
No, it's a good one. You gain an hour.
Yeah, oh. I like fall back is my favorite day of the year.
Well, unless you have kids.
Okay, see, it doesn't work when you're a parent. They don't care about the time.
Or a dog owner. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
But I love fall back. But they've talked about keeping it the way it is now forever. And for whatever reason, the week before the time change, we have the time change next week. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason this week it is so hard for me to get out of bed. I feel like I need that time change. So anyway, let's don't spend too much time on that because I can
next
go
podcast.
On.
Next podcast.
Yeah, we'll do a podcast on daylight savings time. Yeah. So why don't we just start with what we've been watching? Mackenzie, you want to start?
And then I would love to actually. Anyone do Sister Wives?
Oh, I did.
Is it insane? Okay, wait. For anyone who doesn't know Sister Wives, it's on TLC. It's the polygamous man who had four wives. Well, now all three have divorced him. He's only married to one. So he's a monogamous. And now it's like mind-blowing, right, Jessica? Because now he's going back and saying he never loved those wives. Okay.
Oh, wow. That's disappointing.
And yeah. Oh, but it is so insane because now one, he's saying, no, I never loved them. I just felt like I had to. It was my calling, blah, 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 blah. And he's talking about his kids and his ex-wives on national television. Jessica, tell me what you think about it. It's just wild.
Well, full transparency, when you said Sister Wives, I was totally thinking we were talking about the secret
lives of Mormon
housewives.
I could talk about them too. I could talk about them too.
So I have not seen Sister Wives. I know of it when he had a lot of wives. I didn't know he was down to one now.
One.
Well, how are they doing? Are they happy?
They are much happier now that they're free from him. But I have to tell you.
No, I mean, is the couple remaining happy? Is he happy with the wife he currently has?
I think so. He's just so sick in the head. I don't really know where he is, what he's doing. I don't think he knows he's on planet Earth. But I rewatched so many seasons, 19 seasons. I started to rewatch earlier. And there are things now that I'm watching and I'm like, oh, I think they were kind of planning to be monogamous, these two, the whole time.
Wow.
So I'm just saying, if anyone needs something to watch, very wild dynamic, very fascinating. You don't have to agree with the religion side, obviously, but it is fascinating. It's in complete turmoil. It's wild.
Well, is the show going to continue since the basis of it is having sister wives? So now if he's in a monogamous relationship, what happens?
That is a great question, Jessica. But the only change, they're going to keep it sister wives, but they took the introduction, instead of there being four rings, there's only one ring on like the logo of Sister Wives. That's the one change.
They changed the logo. Okay.
Yes.
Big doings in Hollywood. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, but wait, now let's go to Jessica's because that's a good one.
So the secret house, I feel like it's a tongue twister for me. The Secret Lives of Mormon Housewives, which is on Hulu. So I kind of started figuring out who these ladies were during COVID because they became famous via TikTok. And the Taylor, the head of the Mormon Housewives, she's the one that I kind of watched a lot of her TikToks to start. And then they introduced this show. So it's definitely, it reminds me of just like a bunch of 20-something-year-olds, obviously in the Mormon community, but mixed with like actual Real Housewives that we watch on Bravo. It's just a younger audience, I guess, like a younger group of gals.
Yeah, but with the religion side and all the things they can... Judy, have you seen it?
I've seen one episode. I was not hooked.
Oh, I think you can't be on this podcast anymore. Are you kidding me? It was the most fat... Alex was
into
it.
This is why we do the intergenerational thing. I think I prefer the ones that are a little less salacious. But when I was young, like you, I did watch some of these kinds of...
It's salacious. It's the Mormons.
Well, they don't seem very Mormon to me, right? From the episode I watched,
right? I think there's like all extremes and all different like sides and who practices what and who doesn't. But I think there was also some like real like reality moments where there was that couple. I'm terrible at remembering names, but they
Jack and Jen.
Yes. Yep. Who, like, you can just tell like a terrible relationship, like super toxic. To me, textbook narcissist. It's just, it was really sad to watch that all come to life for her, but still her not really accepting that that is what her life is.
Wait, that is a great point, because I feel like with the reality shows I've been watching lately, you know, we're in a climate, it's hot right now, things are very heating up with the election coming up. And I feel like reality TV has always been my escape of like, okay, the kids are in bed, now I'm going to relax for a moment. But I'm finding that more of our reality shows that I love so dearly are getting too intense for me to relax. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yes.
Like with that show, not to get into it deep, but this man, this husband, she is the breadwinner based off her influencing her TikToks, Instagram. Like she is an influencer and that is what is paying for his medical career, right? So that's just a simple background. But to see him, they went on a trip and they were at an adult club and he found out about it and he went completely ballistic, but not like a, you're my wife, this is disrespectful to our marriage. He went in so hard. But what's sick about it and what was not relaxing to me was that he knew it was all on national television. So if you are able to say the things that he said to her on national television in front of cameras, what are you saying to her when we're not there in your living room? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. It was very disturbing to watch. And I can't imagine how she felt. And then for her to continue to defend him, which I mean, I know it's her husband and the father of her kids, but it was really sad to watch.
Yes. And now other clips are coming out of him, and it's like, you are reaffirming what we all feel like with Housewives. Okay, we choose sides, you know, Shannon or Heather Dubrow over who told a lie at the dinner table. That's different. That I can relax with because, you know, it's easy. Right. But when it's husband and wife and you have kids and he's degrading you on national television, that is a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, are they in season one of that show?
Yes.
Is there going to be another season?
Yes.
Okay. I'll try to catch up before the next one. I had a hard time with it.
Judy, it's like the number one Halloween costume right now.
Oh, my Lord.
The blue coats.
Yep, and the caffeine, their little swig cups.
Oh, I know. That just gives me diabetes thinking about their guilty pleasure.
Okay, but can we talk about, you know, the Mormons? They're no alcohol, no caffeine, but they're all about their Dr. Peppers and their Cokes.
Yeah, like the soda. And then they jack them up with all these like pumps of syrup, and they all have their different kinds that they like, their certain concoctions.
Yeah.
See, I think Donnie and Marie Osmond when I think Mormon, and you couldn't get more like square than Donnie and Marie Osmond. Things have changed in the Mormon community for sure.
Well, and I feel like there are some what maybe you would consider more square girls of the group, but they're also very judgmental. Like,
okay, can we talk about they were hiding alcohol in a hot tub? They were all together and they were hiding alcohol. It was just like a mixture of Housewives with Sweet 16. You remember that show on MTV?
It's I do.
Am I watching these adults have flasks in a hot tub at an adult party? Like, I just, Judy, you got to watch it because I think.
All right, I will. I promise.
So get in.
I promise.
Okay.
Sometimes you got to, you know, sometimes like I give up too easily on shows. Sometimes you got to get past the first episode. I was watching the Menendez. I can't say their names.
Menendez.
I was watching that show. Mm-hmm. Talk about dark. I couldn't get past four, but I'm certainly intrigued by the story, so I have to return at some point.
Fascinating.
It's like kind of reality TV too.
Yes. Oh yeah. Kim K's gonna get them out.
You think? So is it the TikTok people that actually like are influencing their potential release?
I thought I heard that there's the high chance that they'll be out by Thanksgiving.
That's what's saying. But also, that is the reality of reality TV and social media, is that potentially these people that have been in prison for however many years, because this has now come out on the TV, now all these people are getting involved, the petitions, the celebrities that are getting involved. Like, it is wild. The
people weren't even born when this happened.
No.
It takes influencer to a whole new level when you're getting people out of jail based on your...
I know, it's kind of scary.
Well, I will wrap up and then we can turn to Orange County. I'll tell you a little bit about what I've been watching. And I know I'm watching the old people's reality shows, but Big Brother just finished a terrific season a couple of weeks ago.
Good.
And, you know, I want to say a few things about Big Brother because I know y'all don't watch. Mm-hmm. And my voyeurism is probably what really hooks me to this show because you can watch 24/7 on the live feeds. Although the live feeds have been off so much this season, it hasn't even been worth it. And they did away with flashback. You used to be able to go back and rewatch scenes from the live feeds, and they did away with it. And all these people are going crazy. All these fans are so angry about it. And I'm like, well, if you didn't analyze everything in the way that you do, they'd probably let us see more. But they're, you know, I think they're afraid of lawsuits and whatnot. Fair enough. They're a big corporation. So anyway, so this season, I think Big Brother has come a long way in terms of diversity in the cast. So this year, for the fourth year in a row, a person of color won the whole season. So that's been wonderful because it was really problematic for many years. But the one thing they continue to do is just put one or two older people on there. And I am always going to root for the older people, regardless of their personalities, because I want to see my demographic represented and see them do well. And this year they had this character on there. I don't know if you just heard through the grapevine about this woman named Angela. So she's 50, which I guess is old.
No.
I mean, they talked all the time about how old Angela was. Uh-huh. And she did have grandchildren. I'm 10 years older than the old lady on Big Brother. But anyway, she was super problematic. She was a bit of a Karen. And she, like on week one, she, everybody loved her at first. And then she had this meltdown and called this one young man who's like, he often like would just open his eyes really wide when he was talking to people. And so she started calling him crazy eyes. She was a bit of a bully, but she had this kind of redemption arc throughout the show. And I was rooting pretty hard for her. She did not win, but she ended in the, she finished in the top three for America's Favorite Player. But what I realized this season on Big Brother is that one of the reasons I love Big Brother and Survivor is I love to root for the underdog. I'm usually like rooting for whoever's the underdog. Mm-hmm. Well, this year, two things became apparent to me. One is that I didn't have a real favorite in Big Brother this year, which made me just root for good TV, which made it the season a lot of fun to watch because I don't usually root for good TV. I want my way. I want my person to win.
Yeah, the underdogs. Are
I want the underdogs.
Making the good TV?
Well, because doesn't everybody root for the underdog? Like, I mean, whether it's sports or reality TV, I mean, we all root for the person who's kind of being, you know, oppressed or whatever. Okay. But what I realized, this season was that, and I've always thought this, but it became super crystal clear to me. Mm-hmm. The people that are often underdogs in the beginning, you can kind of see that if they ever rise to power, they're going to be obnoxious. So while the Twitter crowd is loving them and the Facebook crowd is loving them and everybody's rooting for them, internally I'm going, wait till this person's true colors come out and they actually have power. And that happened a lot this season where somebody who started out on the bottom moved to the top. Mm-hmm. And I think, like to me, the test of a person's character is how they behave when they're on bottom, but even more importantly, how they behave when they're on top. And I think that could be said for when we start to talk about Orange County. I want to also talk about that sort of theme because I think I've seen that in Orange County, too, with Tamara.
But don't you think sometimes people put themselves in the bottom so that they can get the support of sweet people like you, Judy, so then when they rise to the top, they just destroy it?
Well, I think there's some intentional play that goes on, like people that want to, for example, in a competition show, they don't always want to necessarily show if they're really physically able to compete in the beginning because they don't want a target on their back.
True.
But I'm more talking about people who are socially ostracized. Oh. So like there was this one woman this season who she just couldn't make a friend. And she ended up making it to the top two. But I could tell when she was unable to make a friend, I'm like, as soon as she gets power, because she was very athletic, so I knew she was going to last because she kept winning competitions. And I'm like, as soon as she gets to the top, I'm not going to like her. And myself and the rest of the viewing audience agree on that one. But so it was a great season. It was a really, really good season. It was, they used the veto every week, which has never happened in the history of the show. So it kept you on your toes. But the last 4 weeks, as always, were so predictable. When it gets down to the end, you feel like they're all almost giving the game away to somebody. Mm-hmm. And Survivor's in about week, I don't know, I think we're about a month in on Survivor. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of really good characters on Survivor this year. Two people that went home early were like fan favorites because they were podcasters. One of them was, what was his name of his podcast? Pod Save America. He was one of the guys on Pod Save America, which is a really popular podcast. And the other woman does like Big Brother and Survivor podcast herself. And they went home in the first couple weeks. Mm. So that was a little disappointing. But it's been good. But let's turn our attention to Orange County since it's the one thing we all seem to be watching. And let me just give a little bit of a context for myself because you two may have to carry this part of the show.
Well, we will.
I used to watch Housewives religiously. I watched Jersey, New York, Beverly Hills, Orange County, Atlanta. And then there was a shift in my viewing habits as I got older. And I think some of it was, I've told you before that in addition to reality TV, I watch a lot of like news and politics and historical documentaries and sports. Mm-hmm. Sports is my other thing.
Yeah.
But I think I started to get really sickened by the Housewives. It was just almost obscene to me. And I just couldn't, I almost felt like I was immoral to watch them or something. And so I kind of shifted away from them. But I was telling Jessica in preparation for this podcast, I decided to kind of peek in at Orange County. Mm-hmm. And I got a little hooked, I got to say. Like it was when you talk about it being an escape and it doesn't feel super
back
harmful.
To the dark side. Yeah.
I know, I'm back on the dark side. Yep. But because of the time I had, so here's another sidebar. And Mackenzie, you may be aware of this.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to really cram this weekend and just watch a ton. Like I wanted to get through the whole season. However, my alma mater's football team.
Yes.
Is good for the first time in my 60 years of life.
Yes.
And so Saturday, College Game Day came to Bloomington, Indiana, and was there for 3 hours. And then the game was 3.5 hours. So it was 6.5 hours I was in front of the TV watching sports. So that really interfered with but it was well worth it. It was pretty exciting in Indiana, I would guess.
Very. Yep. You could feel the energy.
Oh, big day. Okay.
But so, I was watching
Housewives. So what I did was I went back and watched a couple of the first, I watched like the first four episodes of the season, and I watched the last three. And when I drove to New Hampshire yesterday, I listened to the Two T's in a Podcast with Teddy.
Yeah.
And I listened to Watch What Crappens. So I feel like I have sort of like, I'm almost have like a layperson's perspective of what's going on in the show versus an actual like fan slash viewer that has a lot more information. So mm-hmm. I know that a lot of gaps would be filled in if I were to watch the whole season, but I just want to start with this. So based on what I was reading on Twitter, and now Twitter and Facebook always disagree, but I'm more in line with Twitter. Based on what I was reading on Twitter, I really thought that when I saw everything unfold, I was going to be 120% in Jen and Shannon's corner and not in Tamara's at all. Because I've never liked Tamara.
Yeah.
However, when I watched the whole situation play out and I listened to the podcast, I'm not saying I'm on Tamara's side. I'm not.
Maybe.
However, her doing a little investigation of this Ryan dude does not seem that far out of line to me. She didn't do an actual background check. And who of us have not been a little morbidly curious about someone in our circle's partners or something like that and kind of did a little research, not like getting like a private investigator, but sort of try to, you know, especially when there's some shady stuff on the internet, trying to figure out who this person is. So I didn't think what she did was as egregious as some of the housewives seem to think.
Okay. But that to me, in my opinion, is the least of our worries. That to me was like her basic homework, which I'm like, okay, get it, girl. Like,
okay, yeah, okay. Research.
He's a villain. We got it. You know, give us that story. It was the fact that Shannon got a DUI when they were not filming.
Right.
And then she came into this new season. She admitted she was obviously in the wrong. She made a mistake, a very big mistake. You know, I felt like she very much, you know, sometimes they say, oh, we had an issue. You know, what happened?
She took accountability, you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. And what sometimes, oftentimes, in the off season or when they're not filming, they let it go and they don't want it to be brought up. But I felt like she took great ownership, blah, 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 blah. And then I felt like Tamara was ruthless from the get-go. I felt like sitting at a table calling her an alcoholic.
I did see that, yes.
Multiple times, multiple dinners, multiple seasons. Like that to me, I just felt like she's sitting here, a wounded bird, taking accountability. She could have said, nope, I'm not talking about it, Bravo. Keep your lips, you know, what? She could have, but she didn't. And then for her to sit there at time after time, you're an alcoholic. It was just like that. That's what I'm saying is reality TV to me has gotten where we're going too far. You should never be sitting across from someone on TV or not on TV being like, you're an alcoholic. You ran into a house. So to me, that was all gloves are off. And then the second thing that, you know, Ryan, like I said, forget Ryan. But the other thing is that Shannon and Tamara, why do I keep saying Tamara? What is it?
It's Tamara.
Tamara. Okay, come on. I'm just going to call her
Tamara. Extra vowel in there.
Yeah, you know.
That was Tammy's real name, actually, Tamara.
See? She is now, so when Shannon and her were close, they obviously did some, right, Jessica? They did some Googling and they did some gossiping.
They did it together, right. Yeah.
Yes, but they did it together. But now that they're not together, now they're just throwing things out that is affecting the whole group. Like Gina was just, they pulled out a story that we know she
Travis's,
didn't want. Yes. And it's like that to me, you're going too far. And that's not even good TV. That's gossiping about, you know, the gossip you gossiped with your best friend when you were friends. Do you know what I mean? Tell me what you think, Jessica.
Well, and then just to kind of keep it going from there, I don't go down too much of a rabbit hole when it goes to like hearing what other people think, but then to have this season happen as it has, then have Tamara come out on her podcast saying she has this diagnosis of possibly being on the spectrum. So therefore, this is why she lacks empathy and the way that she talks to people. I'm not saying that it can't be a valid diagnosis, but yeah, it's just interesting that you take the time to figure out why you're so heartless and then don't
Like she took that diagnosis like, back. In all fair,
oh she did. Yeah, I didn't see basically. That part.
Okay. So there was a lot of backlash. Obviously, you do not get diagnosed in one session. It does not. It has nothing to do with your capacity for empathy. It was a real slam to that community. I mean, it was really unacceptable.
Yes.
So she got a lot of backlash. So I think. And who knows? This is why. Earlier when I was talking about what happens when you're on top versus what happens when you're on bottom. If people had continued to pile on Shannon or so, whatever, Tamara would not have taken a look in the mirror. If nobody had responded to this, you know, what I'm understanding is that the therapist might have said this is something for us to explore. She didn't diagnose her. Tamara could not wait to tell Teddy on the podcast because she thought she had an excuse for being heartless.
Right.
Also, can we talk about the other elephant in the room, Alexis Bellino? Can we talk about, though, again, the justification of this woman is already down and out from, you know, her DUI and everything. And then you're going to bring someone in that has brought so much heartache. And like, to me, that was like, that's not even Jeff Lewis. I don't know if you remember him. Even Jeff Lewis was to Andy Cohen. Like, why would you? That to me, it crosses a line where it's like, Shannon, you can't even film a scene with Shannon where she doesn't get up and leave. And I hate when they do that. I'm like, you're getting paid a bunch of money. Sit there, take it, say what you need to say, be done. But like, for the first time, I'm understanding Shannon Bedore storming off because she's getting attacked left and right, not about what she's wearing or how much she spent on a bag, but her life and her livelihood. Mm-hmm. And I just think it was cold.
Yeah. And then I just also bringing up Tamara again, her all of a sudden teaming up with Alexis and becoming best friends, and they couldn't stand each other. I mean, her ex-husband and her filed a lawsuit for defamation of character. Like,
yes.
No. And so I just felt like that was just Tamara's way of, again, like getting somebody on her side that she knew she could be in her corner, and that so that she could justify everything she was saying, because then she has this other person who would also like to see her falter because she used to date her boyfriend.
Yes. It's so obvious to us as viewers who have, maybe you haven't watched all the other seasons, but if you're watching this season and you got a little background, which you have in order to see it, like, it's just so predictable. And now let's talk about Heather Dubrow BFFs with her. It's like, you guys are so, y'all are playing the same game, you know?
I have never understood any Heather Dubrow fans. I have never understood it. I think she's condescending. Mm-hmm. I think her house is obscene. I think she's one of those people that when she's on top, she'll take anybody down. And she tries to, there's this nice sort of way that she comes off that I think she thinks justifies all of her bad behavior, but I think she's diabolical. And her and Tamara together are pretty dangerous. And my understanding is even Vicky has jumped ship and is encouraging Ryan to sue her. I just read that this morning.
I think that's true. Even Vicky Gomes.
The OG, Tamara's old best friend.
Yep.
It's crazy. Yeah, the whole Alexis thing, I was pretty shocked. Well, I did not know that. So Johnny J, is that his name? The person that was
John
shocked?
Jansen?
Yeah.
Okay, what's Johnny this guy J. like? I don't remember him from the old
so
shows.
So last season, he was still dating Shannon, and his big thing was he didn't want to be on camera. He didn't want to be involved. He didn't want to be talked about. And yet he obviously got brought out. So that was a sense of stress for Shannon last season because things would get talked about him in front of her. And, you know, it was just like, you're going to ruin my relationship, like, yada, yada. Now, flash forward to him dating Alexis, and it's like he can't get off, like, Bravo TV and is walking red carpets and wants to be seen with her. Like, it just very weird.
And it's so obvious, right? It's so obvious the play that they're playing. It's like, come on, people.
And when she said in the last episode or two episodes ago, I'm going to keep behaving like a Christian, that I was ready to, like, yeah.
Yeah. Jesus drugs. Yeah. No.
Yeah. I can't. She's very corny on TV. I can't with her. So the fact that she was like, all right, you got to go to Jen and
the
new
one.
Yes. Is that her
See, name? We don't even know
Katie.
Her.
Katie. Yeah, Katie's... When I watched the first couple episodes of the season, I always like the new people because they behave in the early episodes. So I was like, Katie seems pretty cool. And by the last episode, I'm like, oh, no.
No, there's something off about her. She's really out to get Heather. She's really
trying too hard.
Yeah, too much.
Because Heather didn't look at her at a party before she met her.
Yeah, she didn't acknowledge her. And yeah, now it's like she's getting children involved, like other people's children.
Yeah, the 8-year-old twins. Yeah, allegedly. So what's that woman's name? Emily?
Yes.
So her 8-year-old twins allegedly said negative things about Heather to Katie's daughter?
Yes, she was babysitting.
It's very hard to follow.
Also, how weird and inappropriate and just odd to even like that to be a storyline. You know what I mean? Like that was just weird.
Well, and that's just it. It's like I feel like a lot of the drama this season, it just seems like everyone's reaching. It's like you have to wonder, like, are there contracts up for renewal? Yeah. Like,
exactly. So do you ever think about, like, okay, so they go to all these wonderful places because Bravo sends them to, you know, other countries or whatever. And the one thing I started thinking about this week is, like, when they go and represent America and they have these, like, brawls in restaurants and you can see all these wait staff, like, what are we going to do? Like, that makes us look so bad. Like, what does Bravo do to clean that up?
Yeah, I think our appearance from Bravo is the least of our worries right now.
That's true. We look bad in other ways.
To be reality check.
Fair enough. But it's just one more layer, Mackenzie. They could help instead of harm us, at least.
That's true.
Well, I'm sure there has to be some sort of discussion that happens beforehand, knowing that these group of women are showing up and that there's this idea that things could go not so great, and that I mean, I always like to watch the people in the background, and
it seems like
when they start to elevate their voices, like people aren't paying attention. So you have to wonder, like, are they told just ignore what's happening over here?
Or sometimes they do. No, sometimes they do pay attention. Absolutely.
Yeah, on Summer House last year, it was Jesse Solomon's dinner. I don't know if you remember where he's saying. Well, it come to find out on a podcast, which I'm always so curious watching the people, but they were talking, it was like a behind the scenes, the production side. And they were saying in the beginning of these shows, it was very easy to just get a little table and like keep it blocked off. But now they have to stage production crew to be around, because if it's normal, average Joe Schmoes, it's going to take away from the scene that they're recording, because it's so famous and so popular that at that dinner, the random people you see dressed in black are actually from the film crew. Isn't that interesting?
Oh, I did not know that.
And because they were having such issues with things getting out to the media.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because people were so close to them that.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. So there's really nobody in these restaurants that are just eating there.
In some scenes, if you look around and they're all in black and they're screaming at each other and throwing plates and someone's turning the menu, that's a cast member.
Well, and the other thing I always wonder, like, you know, and we all have friends, right? And we all have certain behaviors with, and we've had arguments with friends. Why do they always confront each other at the restaurants as opposed to like a one-on-one conference? Why does it always happen in those environments? Just for the drama, I assume?
Great question. So again, for Salt Lake City, Meredith Marks was on a podcast and they were talking about that. They were like, do you guys really just sit down and you don't eat your meals and you just go right into it? And she said that production will hold the wait staff to bring even drinks until a conflict has been resolved or something has happened at a dinner.
Wow. That's just not the way I do friendship.
No. Oh my God. Yeah. But she said, so when her and Whitney were going at it, or Lisa and Whitney or something, she was like, we waited 2 hours for them to have this knockout drag out fight before I even got my glass of wine. So they will tell the staff, like, hold off, let them have this, and then they'll come in.
I will say, because I feel like I have a significant capacity for forgiveness myself, the things they forgive each other of and move on and start filming together again is pretty remarkable. Like, as much as they can, like, take each other down, they do seem pretty forgiving, many of them.
You're making that money, I could forgive anyone, really.
Well, and then I just think about Tamara and Jen's relationship in regards to that. I just think that how many times, well, it seems like now this could have been the last straw, but how many times has Tamara and Jen got into a fight, and like Jen just forgives her, and she gets the lowest of the blows, and she's like, oh, well, this is just our dynamic. This is just how we are.
Well, according to Teddy and Erica Jane in Two Teas in a Pod, because Erica Jane is the guest host right now because Tamara is taking time away from social media, given her new condition. So according to them, she and Jen were never friends. Like, they had dinner, because Jen went to Eddie's gym, right? And So they had a couple dinners, but they were never like friends. So when Jen is constantly saying, all these years we've been friends, Teddy and Erica Jane says that's just not the case. I don't know. Just another kind of like, you know, nuance.
I also think that that's Teddy trying to get a storyline for her BFF. You know,
Teddy owns that when she like, because I was like, okay, am I going to listen to this podcast and get any kind of objectivity around the situation? Teddy owns that she can't be super objective, but she does call Tamara out quite a bit on this one. And Erica Jane takes her down.
Good.
So I know we're reaching closing time, but I do have one question related to this cast. So historically, when I've watched Real Housewives, my favorite person who is always whoever I dislike the least. Because there's usually nobody that I really like. So I'm trying to figure that out. And maybe I'll go back and I am going to watch the filler episodes because I'm curious enough. But right now I'm leaning toward Emily as my fave. I'm just curious for you all who you're cheering for this season.
I actually agree. So I feel like Gina and Emily, though they don't like it, I feel like they're a package deal. And I feel like as people and friends, I like them the best. But I don't think that they do a lot for reality TV, which is sad because I think that they're great people and I think they're wonderful friends for each other. But I almost think maybe this season it's better because they are very much like she called Shannon out. Like, you guys are both doing it to each other and then I'm the victim because you're pulling me into your guys' crazy.
Right.
But it's like if they weren't pulling you into the crazy, I really wouldn't be thinking about you.
Well, when they brought up her pushing Travis down the stairs, she didn't seem to have much of a reaction to that. She was kind of like...
Yeah, because I think she worked hard to keep it under wraps.
But it happened?
Yeah, he moved out of the house. There's a lot with his ex-wife that they
I knew that. Oh, so they are no longer together after this?
No, they still are.
They're together.
But I'm confused, though. I was just under the impression that he moved out, well... according to Gina, because they couldn't afford to buy a bigger home that would accommodate both of their families because of his financial status with his ex-wife and the workings of her making his life miserable.
I think it's her, the ex-wife, making both of them so miserable. And so she was like, I'm going to pull myself out. I don't need any bad negative headlines. And so that's kind of what that ex was going for with everything putting out to social media. That Gina on a podcast, maybe Not Skinny, Not Fat, which is a great podcast, mentioned like she had to remove herself from that situation in order to keep things off of her. Like, you know what I mean?
So was it the ex, Travis's ex, that insinuated that Gina had pushed him down the stairs?
But then in front of their kids, yeah.
But was that confirmed to being true?
They had, I don't know if it was ever confirmed, but it was mentioned that it was an alcohol-induced night, and that's why she's no longer drinking.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Well, good for her.
Was she? I thought she stopped drinking before Travis, no?
I thought that it was after that ordeal.
Oh.
We probably shouldn't speculate because, you know, we're on the air. We don't want to spread
rumors. That's true. This is all our opinion. Yep, just our opinion.
We should probably qualify all of this with this is just our opinions, just our perspectives.
Yep, of course.
But yes, I'll agree with the both of you. Emily, I think, has been my favorite for the last couple of seasons. I think she's just very real and genuine about all aspects of her life. And like you said, I think Gina, the two of them together, I like their dynamic as a friendship. I feel like I don't think of them, like if I was to know them separately as what I see on the show, I wouldn't think of them as being close, but I do like the wholesome relationship that they have as friends.
Okay, I wasn't even aware of that. And Gina would probably be my runner up. I definitely feel sorry for Shannon, no question. But I'm one of those people, I can't remember like past episodes and stuff. So I remember having issues with her in the past. So I'll have to go back and remember why I wasn't.
Yeah, I don't think she's as innocent as.
No, I don't either. I don't either. And even Alexis referring to some videotape they have of that night, I was like, what's that about? Yeah, no, yeah. I agree with you. I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
So, so what do we have? So we'll come back together in a couple of weeks or so. And what do we have on the horizon? What are you going to be watching in the next month?
Is Vanderpump coming back?
I don't think so.
That is the question.
I don't think so. Because here's the thing. Lala and Eric, what's her name? I always forget her name. The star.
Ariana
are absolutely done. So I don't, like, there's so many, like, is your child coming to you? Which one is it? Is it Dean or is it Matthew?
It's my little Matthew.
Aw. Mm-hmm. So sorry. Anyway, so I think those relationships are so shattered. I don't know how they would, and I hope those people don't go on the Valley. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. I heard that there was a couple people on the Vanderpump cast that were still negotiating or like what they thought that their new salary should be for this year's. And they also talked about the possibility of getting like fresh meat again. But to be honest, I think they should just let it go. I think
it ran its course.
Because when they tried to do that too, it didn't go well.
No.
And how do you top the storyline that they just like wrapped up with Rachel and Tom Sandoval?
And they were even saying that none of them are really, there's no lot of, no longer like those genuine friendships anymore to actually sit down and want to hang out.
Yeah.
Tom and Ariana put their house on the market. He's moving in with the new woman.
Brittany filed for divorce. I mean, we got things to talk about next time.
Good for her. All right. So, but in terms of reality TV, what's coming down the pike? I will try to look into the Mormon Wives reality show. I'm going to finish up OC. I'm going to keep watching Survivor.
Real Housewives of New York City just started.
Yeah.
Is there anybody there that I know?
No, it's a whole brand new cast.
Mm. Yeah, I don't like the fresh meat. I don't.
I do.
Why do we call it that?
I miss the...
I'm a little disturbed.
I miss the OGs for sure, for the entertainment value. I do think these ladies are less entertaining, but I don't know, I like their style.
Well, the originals always, you know, like with the Real World, those early Real Worlds will always be the best because they were still figuring it out. So there was a much more authenticity to it. Now they're like, you know, watching the aftermath of Big Brother, I'm like, you were kicked off week one. You were on TV for 7 days. Why are you trying to stay relevant? Like, it's just insane.
Let it go, yeah.
I also like watching Love is Blind, although they're just wrapping up season 7 right now. So I think it's a great little reality show to binge on Netflix.
I've heard that. I'm interested to see Summer House, the dynamic of Lindsay Hubbard being pregnant and Carl Radke. Like, how's that all going to work? So
when does that one start?
Winter.
Winter, yeah.
Summer January. House starts in winter. Okay, it's all January, right. Well, we'll connect before then. So, I'm thinking more like the next month. But we're gonna have some reality TV play out in our country, I think, too. So we'll have a lot to handle. Oh, there he is.
We might really need some reality TV.
I know. I might need some escape. So, Mackenzie, thank you for joining us, even though your son was sick.
Of course.
I hope he feels better soon. Please give Grandma Donna my best.
Yes.
Tell her I'll work on podcast classes so I can figure out how to do this from my kitchen.
Yes, let's get on it.
Alex is going to have to train me. All right, take care, everybody. We'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
This concludes today's podcast. We're always looking for new ideas, so feel free to reach out to Judy Raper, Associate Dean of Community Engagement at Greenfield Community College at 413-775-1819 if you have an idea you'd love to share. Special thanks to the creators of Backyard Oasis, Denise Schwartz, Chad Fuller, Dennis Lee, and Christine Copeland. Have a great day.